All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, happy to be speaking with an individual who notched quite the impressive victory at Unified MMA 40. I was peeping that on August the 14th. UFC Fight Pass, Unified MMA rolling out on that platform. And KB Buller getting the victory over Anton Tkarchuk, and going to be talking to KB a little bit about that and a few other subjects. How's your day going so far, though, KB?
Today's going good, man. Just finished walking the dogs. Pretty relaxed. How about yours?
Oh, yeah, my day's going pretty well, doing a similar thing, kind of a little bit of hanging out with the dog in between, getting a bit of work in and stuff like that there. But got to wonder how you're feeling after that win, in the sense of, like, is there a degree of relief just coming off of, you know, back-to-back defeats, something you're very unfamiliar with professionally? Like, was there a relief kind of sensation getting that Tkarchuk victory there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's always relief with every fight, anytime you end up with a win. It's just, that's kind of the biggest feeling that comes out after a fight, is the feeling of just relief, because, you know, there's always just a ton of pressure on your back. But I mean, it was especially good considering the circumstance. Yeah.
Curious dynamics too, because there's obviously the familiarity with, like, the Unified MMA banner, River Cree, but also I was seeing you were in a different weight category there, and it seems like middleweight is still the future. Maybe that was just a brief little, you know, foray to 205 pounds to kind of facilitate getting a quick fight in. But how did you feel competing as a light heavyweight there?
My future is at middleweight. The only reason I took the fight at light heavyweight was because I had 5 weeks to get ready for the fight, and then I figured, man, I can use that 5 weeks to train fully, not have to worry about my weight at all, and then not have to spend that, you know, that just that 1.5 weeks where weight becomes an issue and you really gotta dial it down, and then life becomes just terrible for a little bit. So I figured, you know, if I can take a fight at 205, then, you know, let's do it, why not? I have the frame and the size to be able to hang with those guys. So, I mean, right now, I guess if opportunities present themselves at 205 pounds and the fight makes sense, then I would take it. But my home for the long run is 185.
Yeah, for sure. Makes sense. And just fighting a guy like Anton Tkarchuk, a guy who's, you know, pretty tenured across a few different combat sports and a bit of an unorthodox kind of style from what I've seen in certain past outings. Like, what were your thoughts on, I guess, some of his stylistic proclivities and the actual, I guess, physical components of the fight there?
Oh, he was super weird. Like, it was like fighting like those inflatable tube men.
Yeah.
That are like, that kind of, you know, it was literally like fighting one of those. It's like you hit him and he goes down and he just absorbs it, and then he comes right back at you just flailing. And it was weird, you know. I've never seen a guy get away with fighting like that. And then part of me in my head, as like I was hitting him with some heavy shots, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this guy won't go down.
Yeah.
But he was tough, you know. He was tough. He could take it. But it was kind of like, I guess I'd imagine how Sean O'Malley must have felt with that Moutinho guy that just kept coming forward, eating big shots. He just kept coming forward. So, in the end, it's like positionally he was aggressing, but, you know, you just keep getting hit. It was more or less for me just a chance to get some batting practice at fighting well backwards.
Yeah, some guys just have that level of, like, almost like preternatural durability. Like, it's like, I don't know how you're withstanding these blows. Must be something within the biochemistry there. But it seems like you're in a good spot. And as far as, like, you know, Unified being on UFC Fight Pass now, it seems like another, you know, run in the UFC would be the desired, I guess, unfurling of events. So is there any kind of processing of that? Like, when you see you're on UFC Fight Pass and see some of those surrounding facets, does it present something of a clear path, like maybe get a couple victories in Unified and have another go in the UFC, or are you not thinking like as far in the future with that or being presumptuous?
You know, it is. It's great that that Unified is on UFC Fight Pass and whatnot, and they're just getting a broader scope to be able to showcase their product. For myself, like, I am very focused right now on just trying to grow and improve myself as a fighter. That's my biggest concern. Doing the things that I need to work on to get better. And eventually, yes, absolutely, I want to make my return to the UFC. But I don't just want to, you know, I don't just want to go. I want to go and succeed. So I have to take a close analysis of myself and realize what I need to do to get better. And once I'm able to do those things and showcase them in fights, then I know I'll be ready for that next step.
Yeah, it seems like you're a very cerebral kind of guy, like understanding that martial arts is more of a lifestyle, moment-to-moment kind of thing than it is like a specific kind of goal. Like, I mean, how important is like that cerebral kind of part of the sport? And I guess just more it being like a lifestyle kind of thing and orienting your approach to that kind of a long-term kind of way of thinking.
Well, like, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was extremely bummed when I got my release, but then I kind of had to have a moment of clarity with myself and realize that, like, look, you know, you've had 10 pro fights, that's it, and I had one amateur fight. I know I have the talent and the ability to be fighting at an elite level, but what I need to do now is to be able to take my skill set, round it out, and then be able to showcase it in competition. And the only way to do that is by competing more, having the experience, because there's nothing like experience, you know? So I'm not one to shy away from taking more fights and growing as a fighter. I think that's really important. Yeah, that's what I'm after right now. I'm out there trying to, like, chase the fights and stay active, keep my body healthy, and stay active.
Are you adding any new measures to keeping your body healthy as compared to, like, where you were at even a bit ago, or just, like, more like the discipline, stick to what you've always been sticking to kind of thing more so?
Well, I guess before, I would really redline my body a lot during fight camps, and I would kind of show up to fights beat up a lot of the time. Like, you know, we spar very hard, and we spar, like, hard, like, two to three times a week of, like, live rounds. And I'm trying to be a little more aware of when that's needed and when it's not needed. Also doing the right things with, you know, nutrition, sleep, and other things I can do to recover faster, in the realm of obviously what's allowed, but just to recover faster and get back to training and treating my body with a degree of respect, understanding that, fuck, this is my weapon, this is what I use to make a living, so I got to treat it with respect, you know. Even against Anton, I've been going in for, like, the last 6 months with, like, just this annoying ass, like, Achilles tendon pain. Like, it's been, like, bothering me like crazy. And then finally just having the resources to go have it looked at, and then realizing what was causing it, treating that, and then having that go away. Just like that, the little things like that make a world of a difference, you know? Kind of things that add up, all these little recovery modalities that add up and help you keep you in the game longer, you know, because injuries suck, and we're notoriously known to help. But, you know, then you show up to fights kind of broken, which, you know, I don't want to do anymore.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you guys definitely push a pace in that gym, but, like, finding that, you know, point where you're not quite redlining as of yet. But, I mean, amazing work you're able to get in with the Shaved Bears there, and stuff like that. I mean, Tanner Bowser, obviously a well-known individual from that gym, but on the localized level of Unified MMA 40, like, it must be a bit curious because, like, in the main event and co-main event, there's that, I guess, bit of a duality in as far as, like, you know, teammate Graham Park getting the W, Neil Anderson, I mean, great performance, but ending up with the loss there and everything like that. Like, just on a teammate level, what's it like to kind of be there on those nights where it's like you have the highest of highs kind of dynamic with one individual, but then with the other individual, it's more of a, you know, go back to the drawing board, as it were, kind of a dynamic?
You know, ultimately, you know, you just have to be very happy for Graham for, you know, what he did. You know, beautiful victory on his part. And then, like, for Neil, obviously, I was choked because I knew how hard he trained. I knew the work he put in to be able to get that opportunity. And I feel like, you know, ultimately down the line, if he wants it, I think that rematch will be available to him. He gave him a hell of a fight. Both fighters did a great job, great toughness and grit shown by Hamo to be able to secure the win that late. I mean, that'd be a fun fight to see again. Ultimately, I try and be as even keel as I can with teammates on fight nights, especially when I'm fighting, because I have to try my best to focus on myself. But, you know, it is tough because you really care about these guys. These guys are in there with you day in, day out, and you guys are working together and helping each other get better. So you want the best for everybody. But, you know, it is a cutthroat sport. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But in the end, you just got to be there for your boys and your girls who are on the team as well.
Yeah, well-articulated kind of space to be in there. And, yeah, it seems like you guys have that great level of rapport, even beyond just the martial arts work, just a certain level of friendship. And y'all got your special titles there, like Tanner Bowser being the Claw Machine Goat. Neil Anderson is the Donair King. I was talking to Tanner
I totally forgot about that. No. Neil Anderson is not the Donair King. I am the Donair King. I defeated Neil.
Oh, damn. So you're concurrently the Poutine Prince and the Donair King?
Yeah.
Damn. I didn't know I was talking to the champ here. But what I was going to ask was, okay. Yeah, because I was talking to Tanner, and he was saying the Claw Machine was sometimes in short supply just with the surrounding nature of the pandemic. Has your ability to procure poutine been hindered at all?
You know what? Like I said before, I'm trying to stay away from that stuff. I had my 1 week after the fight where I got to have some fun and just eat like a maniac. But I don't know. It's not hitting the same anymore. Like, it's not making me feel like as good. I think I've matured and just been like, it's probably not good to eat till you're in pain. And
yeah,
okay. I wanted after this fight to come back and fight again on the September 21st card. But unfortunately, I was just having some issues with my back, and I haven't been able to get back into swing training right away. But I'm just trying to get that dealt with quickly, and, you know, it's healing up, so I just need to heal that up and get back to training as soon as possible, and hopefully I can fight again in the next I'd love to in the next 4 to 5 weeks. Cardio's still good. The timing still feels good. I literally just now got a text from my striking coach saying to come in at 5:30, so that's good. But, yeah, I mean, with binge eating and all that stuff, going crazy with the donors and the poutine, I try and be more serious about it now and not do it for quite as long.
Yeah, maybe save, like, the binge eating for when you're in, like, a Japanese restaurant and, like, the matching track suits with Coach Jeff and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was before Tanner fought Arlovsky. We went there. But, I mean, we ate light that night. It was, like, the night before Tanner's weigh-in. So, I mean, Tanner doesn't got to cut any weight, but you're not always that hungry right before you fight. So, we took it pretty easy. But there's an all-you-can-eat Japanese restaurant in Edmonton called Watari. That's some good food.
I was going to say, I feel like I've been there, actually, now that you say that. And, yeah, definitely a great place. Been to a couple places like that. Was it on White Ave, or whereabouts is that?
No, not White Ave. It's actually downtown Jasper Ave.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, Jasper's a good place, too, no doubt. But I kind of wanted to touch on the Pokemon a little bit, because it seems like you were looking to complete the Pokemon Shield Pokedex there and everything like that. And I also saw you compared Tanner to Croconaw evolving into a Feraligatr as well. Is that something you and Tan are still kind of bond over a little bit, the Pokemon? I mean, it seems like he's more Pokemon Go, but just the general space and fandom and whatnot.
Yeah, he was supposed to bring his Switch to Abu Dhabi when we went, but then he completely forgot it, and he wrecked it. You know, that could have been something great, but he wrecked it. Tanner, absolutely. I think when he was like his full evolution, now he's a Feraligatr, man. That's who he is. That's like his Pokemon spirit animal.
Yeah, definitely. When you gave the description there per Tanner Bowser's tweet, I was like, yeah, all those boxes check out. Kind of makes sense, actually. But I'm kind of curious because I've seen the interview you did with James Lynch, and he mentioned one championship there, and we also had mentioned the UFC focus for sure. But is that a promotion you follow? Is there a level of intrigue in like the kind of rule set they have, or just like the general presentation?
You know what? They're doing an amazing job. I love the striking that they have, the Muay Thai with the 4-ounce gloves, and just all the best kickboxers and Muay Thai fighters in the world are fighting in there. So that is super fun to watch. I'm open to it. I'm definitely open to it. Like that, it's an amazing promotion. But right now, I'm just trying to focus on the present and get these dubs, you know, keep winning, keep racking up the experience, getting better as a fighter.
Yeah, it seems like you're looking to get out there real quick. So is the, I guess, ideal plan to... Yeah, so would you want to take that fight and then kind of see where things are at to the point of being present, or do you have a certain strength of schedule you'd like to have for the remainder of the calendar year?
At the moment, I just want to, like right now, I just want to heal up, get back in the gym, and get back to work, and then start seeing how things are panning out. But ultimately, let's get back at it quick. Let's stay going. Let's keep this rolling, you know? I don't want to sit around too long. I want to get back at it. Let's go.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like a past conversation we had where you were talking about your coach, Jeff, kind of chopping it up with you a little bit. And he was saying that, you know, there's a certain dynamic whereby you need to like appreciate the victory on a micro level, but you almost need to kind of let it die to a degree and move on to the next thing. So is that mentality kind of underpinning that a bit too?
Yeah, fuck it, man. Just who cares about that victory 2 weeks ago? Let's move on. Let's get it over with. Let's look at things we could have done better. I already know he's going to grill me on my botched takedown in round two. But, yeah, man, just let your past successes die and focus on the now. What can you do to get better today? Live for today.
For sure, man. A lot to look forward to in the future and a lot to enjoy in the present for sure, but to the point of just enjoying the rest of your day and, you know, getting towards some other training and other endeavors you have there. Is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're kind of wrapping things up here, man?
No, man. Thank you so much for your time, Dylan. I appreciate it. Hope you have a great day too, my friend.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. I also appreciate the fact you have the Shrek picture for your Zoom photo. That made me laugh when I opened up the call.
I do. I have a Shrek photo. I didn't even know that.
Maybe some.
I had no idea.
Literally.
Must be there by default. Maybe Shrek is my spirit animal.
Shrek is love. Shrek is life, as some say, right?
There you go.
All right, man. Well, appreciate the time and insights. And again, to reiterate, you have a good rest of your day, man.
Okay, Dylan. You take care.